flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
I am the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. The Jaws music. The Jaws music was, it's Alan's song. If any of you guys have ever seen the movie Jaws, yeah, you might would remember the sailboat that gets taken out and people go diving off of the sailboat into the water. Alan's swan dive that I give a 10.000 to was reminiscent of that scene from the movie. It actually kind of scared me just a little bit because he had just released a redfish. And it reminded me of the video of the little girl or the girl catching the redfish off the dock that the giant bull shark comes up and eats. Because there's just no explaining why a person falls out of their kayak the way that Alan did. So, yeah, you're going to get the full blunt. It's not going to be good. So you might want to step away now, buddy. I thought he was having a seizure or something. Oh, man, it's bad. Anyway, welcome to another wonderful Monday night show. I apologize for my voice. I've been sick for about a week now. I got some familiar faces in the chat room there, and I got some folks joining us again who haven't been in there in forever, Miss D. Kaminsky. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys tuning in. Tonight we're going to talk about a topic that arose once again in the wonderful world of the Banana River on our little outing this past Sunday. That topic is etiquette. It's a very simple thing to understand. I don't understand why some people just don't understand it and can't get it. But that will be our topic of choice. If anybody wants to call in and lend a voice, please do so. The number for you to call in is 714-816-4727. And, call up and give me a bad etiquette story. Tell me about any times that you may or may not have fallen out of your kayak. And then our other topic of the night, we're going to break it up into two segments. Our other topic of the night is going to be all about the wonderful world of dry boxes and how to use them. So... Alan's going to get beat to death tonight. all kidding aside, I spent two amazing days in the No Motor Zone with a very good friend of mine, Alan Ryland, who's there in the chat room. he's got it covered, he says. We caught a lot of fish, a lot of good fish. saw a lot of fish, saw some crazy stuff that that we've never seen before, I don't think, me or him, which is giant schools of sheephead pushing water like giant schools of redfish. Yeah, so, and then saw some black drums, saw some snooks, saw a bunch of cool stuff. Saw a spotted eagle ray, which was the first for me to see in the no motor zone there. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, we'll get to all that and more. Again, that call-in number is 714-816-4727. But without further ado, I have to hit the button.
Boondoggle, boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
The wonderful voice of one Mr. Steve Chapman. I appreciate him, as always, taking care of our little sound bites for us. I know it's a long way out, and I've gotten a lot of gripe from a lot of people about me wanting to promote the boondoggle this far out or whatever, but you know what? Those who have donated, Captain Chris Cameron, who's just joined us in the chat room, is one of them who donated a shark trip with him, deserves all of the promoting that they can get out of the boondoggle. So but that's all I'm going to say about it tonight. So let's get right into it. Etiquette. Why does anybody care about etiquette? Well, it's really simple, especially as kayakers. If you're out there fishing on a flat and you've worked your butt off all day long to find a school of fish or find an area that's holding fish, and then you have a group of other kayakers come strolling on up to you, like it's not a big deal, and start fishing all around you when you start catching fish, or even worse, rather than giving you space and paddling around you, they paddle directly between you and your other party and or just you yourself and straight down the center of the flat, like just completely blowing out your entire area. It doesn't really make for a fun day on the water, especially when you've just paddled 2 miles to get to your location, just to find out that the fish are indeed there, and for that to happen. I know Alan was telling me that he had a run-in. Alan, call the show. He had a run-in with a gentleman, or a couple of gentlemen, I should say, who paddled right on up to him and started giving him crap. Googans, thank you, Googans. Love the shirt. I need it. He had a guy paddle right up to him and started giving him crap and, asking him questions and, throwing right into where he's fishing and the whole bit. Adam, an idiot. Adam says he definitely would paddle right down the center and throw in front of me or whatever. Well, I'm not really too concerned about that, Adam, due to your history of fishing here in Florida. So hang on a second. I think I've got the waterlogged swan diving man himself.
I'm here.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much.
Tell me, putting
some reels back together here.
Yeah, tell everybody your story. Not about you falling in the water. We'll get that
one. All right.
Tell everybody
the Thursday deal.
The Thursday deal.
My new buddies.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. It was me and a friend of mine, Steve Brand, were fishing. These guys were basically, pretty much hanging back from us a little bit. They saw us hook up a couple fish and commenced to paddling extremely hard to get to where we were. So they kind of paddled up to us, started fishing around. We didn't say nothing. We didn't want to start anything. We figured, it's a big river, plenty of room. So we didn't do much. Shortly after that is when I actually hooked the 30-inch fish that I sight fished right off the nose of the kayak. They saw that battle going on, so here they come. I mean, one guy just powering over to me actually comes right up within about 5 feet asking me if that's his fish. The only thing I could assume was he wanted the fish, so whatever. So, you know, we kind of joked around. Steve, you know, I forget what he said, but anyway, they kind of hung right with us and just, like, fished with us like they were part of our group. There was three of us, me and Steve and another buddy of his, Steve. I don't remember his last name, but anyway, we figured, you know what, these guys have no clue what they're doing. They got to be new. Maybe they're rentals. You know, like I said, the one guy had I think it was a Walmart Great Value brand kayak from what I could gather. But anyway, we moved on. We figured, you know what, we'll give them the water. We've, you know, pretty much blew out this spot. So we moved down and, you know, we hooked up, got into another little group of fish. Here they come again. I couldn't take anymore. I, you know, got the closest guy to me. I said, look, you guys need to move on. You know, if you want the spot, we'll be happy to move on, but we need to spread out a little bit. You know, this isn't cool. And the other guy chimed in, you know, hey, we're not actually fishing, which was kind of funny as they, you know, had three or four rods and boats each. So, but whatever. I mean, that was it. They, you know, evidently had no clue and, you know, pretty much blew the day for us, but oh well.
All right, buddy. Well, the world wants to know. How do you go about, or what goes through your head when someone does that? Like, what? Actually, you know what? Let's not even answer that question. What is etiquette to you? What would be proper flats etiquette? Or not even flats. What would be proper fishing etiquette to you?
What I do, okay, first of all, if somebody's going to get up early enough to hit the water before the sun, go through all the effort of that, get to their spot, you know, where they're going to fish, you know, they deserve that spot. They got their, basically, you know, first come, first serve, whatever. You know, if I get out there and I get out there a little late and I happen to paddle up on a couple guys, you know, guys, girls, whatever, whoever's out there fishing, you know, you can kind of tell where they're fishing. If they're fishing the shoreline, you know, give them a wide berth, paddle out and paddle around them, you know, get a good distance, you know, don't cut them off, don't pull right in front of them and, you know, move in and start fishing if you can help it. You know, no motor zone is kind of difficult. You got shoreline, that's about it. But, you know, or if they're out from the shoreline a little bit and you know, you got a good 60, 75 yards between them and the shoreline, you know, you can probably hug the shoreline, play it safe, and you're not going to interfere with their fishing. But, you know, bottom line, just steer clear. Just stay away. You know, move on. There's plenty of river out there.
Yeah, that's
what I do.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't like to be able to tell a few things. I don't want to be able to read. Well, let me try that again. I don't want to be able to read the back of your shirt.
Right.
The brand of kayak that you're
brand
in,
of kayak.
The kind of reel that you're using. You know, if I can see like distinct features about your boat, I feel like I'm too close.
Yeah.
And I always try and go around people as much as possible and go well around them. I mean, I don't mind paddling out of my way to get past them. It, this is one of the things that really annoys me. If we're working a flat, or because this is just the way the flat fishing works anymore. And you said it. If you're the first guy out, kudos to you. You know, you're definitely the soldier. You get to kind of venture out first, whatever. If you decide to stake out pole in the middle of the flat, don't get your feelings hurt if people go around you and keep on going down the flat, because it doesn't make any sense for people to have to stop moving because you've decided to park yourself and start fishing.
Sure.
With that being said, I saw Steve in there said he said that 100 yards to him is pretty good. 100 yards is really good. If you give somebody a football field's distance inshore fishing, that's great. Offshore fishing is a completely different ball game. If I see Captain Chris Cameron, who's in the chat room there, if I see him anchored up on a small piece of bottom that I know is good bottom, but he's first there, whatever, I let him have it and just keep on moving. And obviously at that point we're not talking about kayak fishing. But inshore, even with the flats boats, this is one of the things that always pisses me off. With flats boats and with kayakers, there's never like this happy medium between the two. Like flats boats guys will move right up in on guys who are in kayaks if they're catching fish. and guys in kayaks will move right up in on flats, guys who are catching fish. I usually look around. If I'm fishing by myself and I'm on a school of fish, I'll look around and I'll find the closest person and wave them in, because I don't care if somebody else joins in the fun catching fish on a big school of fish. That's fine. You know, I'm not going to hog the whole entire school up for myself. It doesn't make any sense. Plus, two, strategically, you can work a school of fish better with one or two people, with two or three people, than you can with a single person trying to work over a school of fish. But traditionally, as what we had happen to us on Sunday, when we're marching down the flat and we're moving, we're not stationary, we're moving along at a slow pace, as you should, so you can pay attention and find fish. And then you have a kayaker blow through the center of you, your group, and then paddle like he's trying to get his kayak on a plane, you know, to get out in front of you, which is basically disturbing all the things in God's creation at that point. I think the bald eagles were even laughing at him because he was paddling like an idiot. Then at some point you have to realize to yourself, wow, I think I just blew up this entire flat for somebody. So, you know, that's not good. It's not nice. It's not sportsmanlike. And if we turned around and did the same thing back to him when he finally found a fish, if he did find a fish, he'd be pissed. So etiquette is simple. Etiquette is just giving people the same respect that you want on the water, period. It's easy. You know, if you see somebody that you know, you recognize, whatever, you know, kind of holler at them and wave your hand and see if he'll, you know, invite you into fish's area or whatever. That's cool. Folks like Dee that's out there trying to make a living, if she's in there working a school of fish with a client and you paddle right up in on her while she's trying to get her client on fish, she's going to be pissed. She might not get into you, you know, verbally then because she's in front of a client, but I can guarantee you if you piss her off, next time she sees you on the water and she's by herself, you're going to know about it. You know, it's crazy. Yeah, Dee just said she counted 20 kayakers fishing the no motor zone Saturday. It killed the flat. Well, wait till February. But it's going to, you know, listen, we're all out there for the same reason. We're out there because we love to fish. Most of us like to catch reds and trout and black drum and whatever. And you really, really can, you really, really can just ruin an entire weekend's, like, trip. Because some people don't get to fish every weekend. So if you're like myself that only gets to go every so often, you know, I value that time on the water, especially if it's been good, you know, the fishing that is, to have just some yahoo come paddling up through you and basically blow out the flat. I think that the fact that the guy did that, I was pissed. You were kind of aggravated. I think that might have even led to you falling in the water. I'm just saying. I think that you may have had...
I was distraught. I was.
That's what I'm saying.
Was, yeah. Emotional.
You may have had mm-hmm. some emotional distress, and your blood pressure got to a point to where you might have felt a little lightheaded.
I think I fainted. I think that's what it was.
I think you did faint. That's
I blacked saying. Out, momentarily blacked out.
Oh, God. Whatever. It was awesome. The fishing, that is, was awesome. But you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, when it comes to etiquette, it's just really, really easy to understand, folks. And if you're fishing with somebody who's new to the sport and doesn't understand the way of the water, so to speak, the unwritten laws, if you will, then teach them by all means. Explain to them that, listen, you really have to understand that first and foremost, when you're on the water, you have to, like, represent yourself well, because people know you guys. Everybody who's in the chat room that fishes over here on the East Coast, everybody knows who you are. We know what kind of boat you're in. We know what your screen names are on the forums and all that crap. And the last thing you want to do is get blackballed as, oh, it's that guy. here comes the spot killer, here comes the guy who destroys a weekend's worth of fishing, you know? I mean, it's just bad, 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 bad. But it doesn't make for happy, happy, happy people. I had to throw in a duck kind of deal. But, so yeah, real quick, let's talk about some fishing. What I really, really want to, talk about is this weekend's events. We had a couple of guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers go over and fish a couple different events over on the West Coast, the Tropic Bay Kayak Fishing Classics Championship was this weekend. And kudos to our very own Mr. Pepe, who not only was fishing waters that were alien to him, but was able to come home with a fourth place finish and and the biggest fish overall for the tournament. So awesome. That's killer. I know he got some critical prizes out of that and everything else, and I'm sure we'll see some things on Facebook here for sale pretty soon. But and then you had the Addictive Fishing Weekend Warrior Challenge that, as I'm reading there in the chat room, six of the guys from the Space Coast Kayak Anglers went over there and fished that. And didn't we have... who represented in that? Somebody placed, what, second or something like that? Or first overall? Do you remember, Alan?
I thought I heard it was Nick Daroff, I think. Maybe.
What did he
get? I didn't see any posts from him or anything. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, either way, kudos to those guys for going over there and fishing that event. That's cool. And I know I heard that Nick placed or won something, so that's pretty awesome. But, man, the fishing over here has just been stellar, at least for some of us. And who won? Yeah, who won second, Austin? Step up. He's in there all quiet now. Shad tails, man. Shad tails and jerk shads have been the name of the game, it seems. And
SSB.
Yeah, and... what's that, Austin? Second? Yeah, Nick got second. So, anyhow, yeah, I don't know, man. It's been interesting. We got a little cool front come through. I figured it would slow the bite down a little bit, and it did in the morning, as me and you found out on Sunday, actually on Friday and Sunday. The bite really didn't start for us until, what, 9?
I think it was at least 9. Yeah, it was about that when Steve and I went Thursday. It was about 9:30, something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, once it started, good God, it was on, you know. And if we could have just sat in that one little magical area that we've been fishing, we probably could have sat there warm out all afternoon.
Yeah.
But you know, I think we've had some different techniques that we've been using. I've been fishing kind of fast. I've been throwing, it's no secret, I've been throwing the Slayer Inc. SSTs, their shad tails, and chicken off the chain color, and, you know, rigging them on a jig head, a Tommy head jig head, and just working them quick, throwing them out, jigging the hell out of them, trying to keep them out of the grass as much as possible. But slot fish, slot reds, slot trout, big trout, they've all fallen victim to it. It's been a good combo of baits for me. You've been throwing a lot of, you threw a little bit of gulp that one morning, gulp jerk shads, and then you threw the SSBs, which is Slayer Inc.'s new jerk bait. Looks similar to a Senko, I think, more so than anything.
Yeah, like a Sluggo type, basically, just a little Sluggo type, whatever you want to call it, the old Sluggo style.
Yeah, you're rigging like those. Are you rigging those weedless?
Yeah, we actually with the Slayer, Predator hook, I think, with the little bait lock screw on thing, weighted 1/16 ounce, and yeah, rigging it weedless basically was it. Yeah, real light, real lightweight.
Yeah,
but that was it. That was in the molting, SSB molting. That's all I threw Sunday.
D said what grass? there's a lot of grass. I mean, it's not like grassy grass like we're used to. It's more like weeds. But it's pretty thick. We're fishing grass lines there in the banana, in the no motor zone, and also in the Indian River. So
I came up with some grass on my hair when I fell in Sunday. So there was some grass there.
You definitely did. You definitely did.
I know I had some grass hanging. Yeah.
Yeah, defit hair plugs and clumps. Yeah, it's pretty much like that. There's some areas that have long stretches of it, but most of it's kind of clumpy. But, you know, that's where we've been finding all the fish. They've been hanging around the edges of the grass and stuff. And, you know, it's funny because I have never seen so many giant blue claw crabs on the flats as I've seen the last couple trips. So, makes me wonder. But, well, you know, we were paddling back to the truck the other day and we saw that one big-ass redfish cruise by. The mm-hmm. fish had to have been 45-plus inches.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And he ain't up in there looking for a snail to eat. That guy's up in there looking for the blue claws, I bet you.
Yeah, that's where we were seeing a lot of them, that one little muddy bottom area.
Yeah, yeah, and he said rays, too. Good God. Remember,
mm-hmm.
me and Alan were coming back to the truck, and we're both standing up push-pulling, and we're looking down, and every 6 inches, a ray was coming up off the bottom and swimming away. Big, giant rays, little, small rays, all kinds of rays. I've always said, if you don't see stingrays, if you don't see catfish, if you don't see puffers, you're not going to find fish. You know, those creatures are all there to eat the same thing. So, but we came across a lot of big trout, singles, a lot of single redfish. I mean, most of what we saw were singles. We bumped, two schools
in
the 3 days we fished.
Yeah, we doubled up on that one little group that bumped up.
Yeah, me and you doubled up, and then me and my dad doubled up, and so you know it's been pretty good, man. I wish I could find an area that has flounder like those stingrays, where we're just cruising along and there's nothing but flounder coming off the bottom. But you know, as the winter progresses and this next cold front comes down and hits us, and it looks like we're going to get some rain from it. I would look for those fish to get even shallower and shallower, the slot fish and the big trout. Hopefully soon they'll start transitioning into more of the crustacean-based diet, not so much in the finfish stuff. Dee says she found a few flounder the other day in the no motor zone, maybe. I don't know. I won't ask her. Sorry, baby. Don't want to, give away your spots, but oh, there she goes, told us, yep, gosh, flounder queen over there, and it's funny, because remember when we were fishing, when we launched in over in the security area with Pepe, and I'm looking at the bottom, I'm even like, good God, man, this looks like there should be flounder, all over it.
Yeah.
Damn, Deesa said, good luck finding them. Wow. All right, that sounds like a personal challenge to me. I will flounder jig all day long just to try and catch one. But I think I'm thinking about doing for the boondoggle. I talked to you about it. Is I'm thinking about rigging lights on my big tuna.
Yeah.
And going gigging at night. Yeah, Gator Dave says, hope you do better there than in Virginia. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Somebody up there in Virginia Beach area told us the flounder were going off and we'd have no problem at all catching flounders, Mark Lozier. And, it didn't really happen that way. But that was our fault. That's my fault for not listening, getting up early and whatever. Who cares? So anyways, Illuminati. Yeah, I'll have the Illuminati. Don't worry about it. I don't think it's going to be bright enough to gig flounder with, though. But, we'll definitely going to have a couple of really, really cold days coming. I think this upcoming weekend will be pretty chilly. And the fishing's just going to get better and better. You know, the water's relatively clean. It's not too bad. I mean, in where Alan did a swan dive, it's pretty dirty. But
dirtier now.
You know, yeah. Even dirtier now. Yeah, you hit the bottom.
It's big hole. There's a big hole in the bottom. It's real deep right there too. I think where I hit.
Oh goodness. But yeah, it's pretty good, man. What do you say? I mean, it's the winter. You know, there's no fall in Florida. It goes from summertime to wintertime. So, I tell you what I did see. I saw those snook, and that was cool. I'm really, really hoping that we have a pretty good, pretty mild winter as far as temperatures go. Because the snook are really trying to make a comeback.
I don't think you mentioned it, Steve. That day, Steve and I went Thursday. He pushed up on that. That thing had to be 40 inches plus. I mean, it was in maybe a foot of water up on a grass bed, and I was fighting a red. It blew by me. I didn't see the fish, but it was a monster, just laying around in the flat sun. And
yeah, I've seen some big ones up there before, and not knowing what they were until I stood up and looked at it. Yeah, Pepe's calling somebody a liar, but. Whatever. But yeah, definitely it was, it's going to be awesome, man. I was up at the, wildlife refuge Saturday, driving around the wildlife refuge, and it was dirty. The water was still dirty. Not bad dirty, but you know, nowhere near as clean as it's been in other places. I did get a report this morning from a very reliable source that the pompano are starting to move into the river and move up the river. So look for that to start happening. I've got a couple of spots where I've traditionally done pretty well with pompano throwing jigs. So as soon as I find out when they come into that particular location, we'll have to do like a little get-together, let's go kill some pompano, retreat, and try and get some on fly. Something I haven't caught on fly yet. It's popping up. But let's see, man. We know the black drum are starting to show up. And most of us know that if you want to catch black drum, your best bet is to use either dead sticking a gulp shrimp, which I refuse to do. They will eat a DOA shrimp if placed properly. But honestly, if you think you're going to be in an area where there's going to end up being some black drum, do yourself a favor and just get yourself some shrimp. Because you put a shrimp out in front of a black drum, and if they turn it down, they just probably would not eat anything. Or carry a net with you and scoop up one of those big blue claws and quarter them. Throw a quarter of that blue claw out there, get them around wherever you think they might be, and you'll do just fine. What else, man? What do you think? What would you do this upcoming weekend, Alan, if you're going to go fishing besides fall out of a kayak and not close your mouth?
I'd have a hard time going anywhere but where we were. I mean, that's like we talked about before we went. You know why? You know we know there's fish there. Why go find them if you're if you're on them? But I don't know. There's another cold front going, and there's some spots in the refuge I like to hit. But like you just said, it's still pretty dirty. Last time I fished, it was the Emily tournament, and it was just unfishable dirty. I mean, it was sad. It was dirty, stinky, foamy, just bad. So Thousand Islands is clean. I mean, there's some little spots around there you can find. I know a buddy of mine that fishes that said the sheephead are in there just in droves right now if anybody's looking for sheep's head. But other than that, I mean, that where we went, that'd be hard to beat right now, I think. That was pretty consistent.
I know Steve's there in the chat room, and I know Steve fished the lagoon today. Maybe Steve can tell us give us a water quality report. That would be great. I've got four or five really, really productive flounder spots that I found towards the end of last winter in the lagoon, and I am definitely going to be going up there and wearing out the flounders here very soon. It's nothing like it is up in Jacksonville where Yak Groupie's at, but they're there, and they're decent-sized fish. I mean, last year my biggest I pulled out of there was about 24 inches. That was a pretty darn good flounder in my book. I'll take them anywhere from 16 to 24 inches all day long. I don't like to usually mess with them much smaller than that. Look at that, gin clear, fished around the Apollo Beach area. And he caught some fish. I saw him this morning. Group is asking what. No, I was commenting on how awesome a flounder fishery you guys have up there. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that was that 24-incher D was like probably the biggest flounder I've caught in, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years. Besides down at the inlet, I've caught them a little bit bigger than that down at the inlet. But there's definitely some big ones to be had in the lagoon, and a lot of fish are just nice, man. They're just thick. And they're in areas that most of you guys probably paddle past or paddle by or overlook. Come fish the flounder pounder on Saturday. To benefit the school for autism. Oh, that's sweet. Was that up in Jacksonville, huh? Cool. I wish I could. There's a lot of things going on this upcoming weekend. I got a wedding to go to, but I'll try and make time to get up there to Jacksonville for sure during this flounder blitz. Are you guys still getting any kind of a flood tide up there in Jacksonville? I'm asking there in the chat room. But I don't know. Pepe says his wife will change the locks on him if he goes out of town for the fishing tournament. Well, dude, I don't know how your wife lets you fish as much as you do with triplets, and they're all 3 years old. I mean, that's like, I want to, like, sometimes stuff mine in a closet for a few hours. I can't imagine having three of them, but, crazy. Oh, man. Windy this weekend, D says. That sucks. Uber windy this weekend, she says. Depending upon which direction that wind's out of, you might be able to find some shelter. One of the things I like to do in the wintertime, and we usually talk about this, and most of us don't really even look at it or think about fishing it, is our bridges. You know, all the bridges up and down the intercoastal. They're actually really, really good if you're into bridge fishing. We talked about it a little bit, Alan, and I think we both decided that would be cool to kind of switch it up a little bit. I definitely want to get after it here soon and give it a shot. What do you think?
Yeah, heck yeah. I'm never done it. I'm open.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's days where you can find, you'll find some big sheephead, you'll find some big spades. You may even see some big black drum. A couple of years back, we were hooking in a big black drum around the bridges. We just couldn't turn them out of the kayaks. So we went back the next weekend and messed them up with the conventional stuff, you know, big 40, 50, 60-pound fish. There may or may not still be some groupers hanging around. I know I spoke with a buddy of mine from FWC, and he sat there and watched a guy wear out the grouper at the railroad bridge in Titusville. So, I don't know. I'm thinking that might be something to do. I'm thinking we might have to go out to one of the bridges with a couple of live pinfish and our big tunas and see about maybe wearing out a big old grouper. He said they were keepers, catching keepers, so it's a possibility. Hall River Canal usually gets hot this time of year. For those of you guys that like to fish deep water and sit in current and a lot of weeds and deal with boats and manatees and everything else, there's usually some big old reds that cruise through there. But, you know, it's going to be fun, man. This next couple of weeks will be fun. What I like to see is I like to see everybody who's in the chat room and listening to this podcast start posting up some fishing pictures. You know, post up some pictures. You can post them up on the Kayak Fishing Radio page, or you can post them up in the Space Coast Kayak Angler page. If you're not already a member, become one, please. It'd be cool to hear from you. It's a very exciting time of year. To sight fish and to catch fish. And most of the time when you're catching fish this time of year, they're really pretty. So definitely post up some pictures. And I think I might actually do a photo contest. Yeah, well, why don't we do that? I'll go ahead and announce it now. For the month, the remaining month of November, everybody post up pictures. I want you to post up fishing pictures to the Kayak Fishing Radio page. And we'll set it up with a little contest. And at the end of the month, the winner will receive something. I'll figure it out. But I'll get somebody to donate some prizes. But so there you go. We'll do that. And then just to say, hey, you know, I don't know, say something about the fact that I just announced this. So, and we'll go that route. But I think it'll be cool. Let's see. What's Black Dog talking about in there? Lenny's talking about something being funny.
Nah, I commented on something, and my wording was not the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're pretty good at that, actually. the other day, your comment was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't think you can bring that up on the radio.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that to you, but I've already...
I don't care.
Oh, I just dropped the F-bomb.
I didn't hear it.
Blame it on the alcohol. Anyway, thank you. I'm glad you didn't. Post some pictures and get your friends to like them or whatever. Have them like the kayak angler. Jesus. What is this? What am I doing right now? The Kayak Fishing Radio Show's Facebook page. My goodness. Did somebody say Woodford? Yeah, Adam Hayes. Adam Hayes is Captain Whiskey, by the way. If anybody's looking for whiskey information, anything that has to do with whiskey, please contact Yak Angler Adam from yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. His job title literally is whiskey expert. Yeah, I said it. Figure that one out.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
He is like the Oompa Loompa of whiskey. For those of you that don't get it, you've never met Adam Hayes in person. Oompa Loompa. Anyway, enough of that. Wow, he says. Good deal. So, yeah, okay, cool. Listen, if you guys have any questions or comments or concerns or want a topic talked about here on the show, feel free to email me at redfishchuck@hotmail.com. Or you can just get on any of those Facebook sites that I told you about, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, Kayak Fishing Radio, yakangler.com, whatever, and ask. And we'll do our best to get the answers to you or for you. Or if there's a guest that you'd like to hear from that is out there in the kayak fishing world, maybe the guide of the year, Ms. Dee Kaminsky. Maybe you want to hear Dee talk on Kayak Fishing Radio again. Then we will do our best to try and make those requests happen. After all, this is y'all's show. It's not really my show. I do it because you guys listen to it. So, yeah, that's all I have about that. I'm off my soapbox. Alan.
Yeah.
We've now reached the second segment of the show.
I thought I was off the hook.
Yeah. No. Right. So, would you please take us through the steps to properly using a dry box?
Dry box, yes. All right. I'll tell my story first. I'll give you a descriptive story of what took place on Sunday. Anyway, I think it
by
was.
By the way. Huh. By the way, you were being a trooper. Just letting you know.
Okay.
We all appreciate it.
Hey, I can laugh at myself. It's funny now, almost. Still paying for it financially. But anyway, So yeah, we're fishing Sunday. I'm doing pretty good. I think it was my second red, and taking some pictures. Appreciate the pictures, by the way. Oh, hey, by the way, kudos on your front page on Florida Sports when I read that article today. That was good.
Thank you very much for taking the picture.
Hey, no problem. All right. Anyway, caught a red. Trying to get a shot of it, releasing the fish into the water, sitting in the kayak in the seat, and that part went fine. Leaned over, let the fish go. As the fish swims off, the only thing I can think of is maybe I was trying to follow him. I don't know, because all I remember is kind of going in. All I see is the fish's tail and then water, and I remember popping up, not knowing what happened. My stuff's all, kind of floating around. Tried to keep the kayak upright, which I did. A couple of waterproof boxes, thank God, floating around. Sweater floating around. Shimano Sustain on the bottom. Had to fish that out. Gathered everything up. Got everything back in the boat. Luckily you had your camera out. Got some great shots of all my stuff floating away, which I did put up a small post on Yak Angler, by the way. So there is a picture there if anybody has a Yak Angler account and wants to log in. I think the title of the title of the post, which is in Saltwater Kayak Fishing, I think I put it in, is The Importance of a Dry Box. So there's a great picture on there that Chuck caught of me standing up completely soaked with all my stuff floating around. Anyway, we kept fishing. And, my phone, I had an iPhone, it got dunked, it was shot, that's the first thing I realized. We kept fishing, we caught more fish, did pretty good, pretty good day under the circumstances. At this point it's funny. We get about, what, Chuck, 5 minutes from the launch, and I just, one of those, oh, you know what, feelings hits me, and I realize also in that box was my truck keys, my Kodak PlaySport camera, which are gone. And, so now it's bad, or getting bad, getting worse. So, first thing I do, because I have no working phone, I borrow your phone and call my wife, hey, I need you to get my spare keys, drive up to Cars Park. I tell her what's happened. She's kind of laughing. She thinks it's funny. So, at this point, it's still not dire straits, but it's getting bad. So anyway, I ask her to, bring my keys up so I can at least get in my truck and get home. She calls your phone back, 5 minutes later, I think. She can't find my spare keys. So now we don't know where my spare keys to my truck is. So now it's getting bad, real bad. So really not much more I could do. So she called my dad. My dad was going to bring a truck up to Cars Park to at least get my kayak home. At this point, planning on leaving my truck at Cars Park until I can get my truck's got one of those chip keys, which, you can't just go anywhere and get a key cut. It's got that chip in it. You can get something that'll unlock it, but it won't start it. So, I turn around, you and your dad had to get back in. I turn around. I'm like, look, I got to go try to find my keys, at least my keys. I'm hoping if I can find that little PlaySport camera, it's got white on one side, blue on the other, I can maybe dig around and find my keys, get back to where it happened. Of course, the water, that had to have been the dirtiest spot we fished all day as far as water clarity, so that's pointless. So paddle back in, I get back, hanging out for about 10 minutes. My dad and my wife show up. My dad suggests that I call a Ford dealership, which I called the local Ford dealership up there in Cocoa. He suggests, he can't get me a key. He said he can get me a key by my VIN number, but it's not going to be that day. So he suggests that I call Papa Lock, which is a local, basically mobile locksmith that'll, get you in your house, car, whatever. Tell him what's going on. She's, we can get you in there. We can get you a chip key made around the spot. I'm like, great. She puts me on hold. Let me get you a price. She gets back on the phone. It'd be $150. So at this point, my wife's not thinking this is all so funny anymore. So, her smile has now diminished. There's nothing really more we can do. I don't want to leave my truck there. So Papa Lock shows up, he gets in my truck, gets me a key made. We get home, and so I'm down a phone, down a camera, only one key for my truck. Reels are taken apart, drying them out to oil them, and yeah, but you know what? We caught fish, so I guess you can say it was worth it. But not an overall great day, I'd say. But funny.
Yeah, a little birdie told me that they may or may not have a little gift package for you to try and make things a little bit easier on your recovery.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yeah. I feel like crap now listening to your story the way you tell it. I feel like I should never have made fun of you. You know what, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, what are friends for? I mean, we're here to...
Thank God you had your camera out to get the pictures. You know, great. Like I said, that thing, yakangler.com. It's on there. Should be one of the fairly recent stories in saltwater fishing. That was a great picture. So
yeah.
I think I had a smile on my face.
You did have
funny.
A smile on your face, actually.
Yeah, we were laughing. Oh, then your dad busted me out later in the day. What was that? I got the redfish later. This is I think as Peppy asked me earlier on the one picture, was that pre or post dunk? That fish was post dunk. At this point, I didn't realize I'd lost my keys and stuff. But, yeah, your dad, I thought it was funny. I still keep thinking about it. I catch another fish. We go to do another release photo, and I think, wait a minute, this is not something I don't think I want to do twice in a day. And your dad, and I think your dad yells over, oh, what are the chances falling out of your kayak twice in a day? But, yeah, I took it serious, and I didn't attempt it. So,
yeah,
I thought that was good.
I think we'll forego the redfish release photos unless you're out of your boat.
I got enough of them. I'm good.
Yeah. Captain Chris Cameron's leaving the chat room. I want to take a second real quick to thank Captain Chris for stepping up and donating a really nice 5-hour shark trip for 4 people to fish aboard the Fired Up Charters boat out of Port Canaveral for the Boondoggle door prizes. So thank you, Chris, for that. You are the man. And get yourself some Black Dog custom fishing rods, man. You should get some custom Kingfish rods. Anyway, cool. We're going to talk about that. What's Peppy saying? Chuck as Tom about that paddle. What? Chuck as Tom about that paddle. You're drunk. So, moving on. Oh, man. No worries, Chris. I appreciate you, buddy. And check out, I'm sorry, I didn't even plug your website, firedupcharters.com. Captain Chris Cameron, he'll get you out there and put you on some fish. Great boat, man. That thing is awesome. And he's an even better captain than most. So, too many to go.
Hey, I forgot the point of my story.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
No, that's my fault. I forgot. The moral is... My phone that got wet. It was in the back of my seat in a zippered pouch, so that doesn't count. But my keys, my Kodak PlaySport were inside my $50-something dry box. But being that I'd been in it to change out baits, I didn't relatch the lid. So when my kayak tipped, the box basically dumped everything in it. So One simple thing is, you know, as simple as latching the lid to my dry box would have prevented all that. You know, I'd have been down a phone, but, you know, I've been lucky with phones up to this point. So, yeah, if you got a dry box, if it's not not closed and latched, it's not going to do you no good, as I found out the hard way. Oh, well.
You know what else would solve that problem?
What's that?
A tackle webs from Captain Mike Quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, I learned very valuable lessons yesterday. I can assure you of that. It's going to change my ways as far as how I rig up for a trip.
Cool. Well, you know what, man? It's a tough lesson to learn, man. And It happens, brother. Listen, I've ruined more phones on the river than probably anybody else in the chat room.
I've been lucky. I've been lucky so far.
Yeah. Well, it's all good. But you know what's been interesting over the last couple of weeks, actually, of fishing? The fish, the pattern itself of what these fish are doing, it's very, like, predictable, you know? Like, you can almost pattern them already for what they're doing, and we've had the water come down a little bit, so, as far as temperature goes, and they're already, like, in the areas they should be, and I think that's why we've been so successful as far as, you know, constantly catching fish, is because, you know, we're fishing the same style bottom, the same grass edges, and the same, you know, every time we go. We're not trying anything different. We're not moving out to deeper water. We're just basically just hammering away at what we know works.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to be said about that. I had a guy in the shop today, and by the shop I mean Kayaks by Bo. And he was asking fishing questions. And I told him, I said, you know, 95% of what goes on out there in that river is all about patterning these fish and being able to know what they're doing or what they should be doing different times of the year. He's like, well, you know, I've never caught a redfish. And I said, listen, catching a redfish is not that difficult unless you're Adam Hayes. God, I'm just ripping them tonight. So I told him, I said, they're basically glorified spot-tail catfish. You can go out and you can take a shrimp, put it underneath the bobbin cork, work an edge of a flat, work it long enough, you'll pick through a bunch of trout, but eventually you'll probably pull a redfish. Take a fist-sized chunk of mullet, curl it out in the middle of a flat, let it lay there for a while, or off the edge of a bar, and you'll probably pick up a redfish. And, you know, so it's not really that tough. He's like, yeah, but I really want to do it at artificials. And I told him, I said, all right, cool, check it out. Here it is, super easy. Grab yourself a pack of paddle tails, whether they're DOAs, Slayers, Bass Assassins, 12 Fathoms, whatever, and rig them things up either on a weedless hook or on a jig head, fan cast them so you can't possibly fan cast anymore, and eventually you'll pull it past the fish and they'll eat it, you know. But once you catch that fish, try and remember, okay, you were in a foot and a half of water, 2 foot of water. I was throwing into areas that were a little mixed with grass and mixed with sand holes or whatever, and just continue that process, you'll be able to pattern these fish. So, you know, it's a great time of year to get out, man. And if you're from the local area and you want to get out and you want to learn from some people who have been fishing a bit longer than others, or, you know, who just are really good at what they do one of two things. Either hire a local guide, like I'll call her right there, Ms. D. Kaminsky there in the chat room, or you can hire Captain Alex, who runs the local lines charters, also in the unloader zone. And or you can join a group like our group, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, or the group in Orlando, the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club, or the hardcore guys over on the West Coast, or any of those types of groups. And you can learn from those that are a little bit more seasoned than you may be. Or come into a kayak shop or a tackle shop and just ask questions. Especially leading into the wintertime, because there's a lot of different ideas of what works for you, or what should work for you. And you know, to me, what works for me will work for you. What works for D will work for you. What works for Peppy will work for you. It's the same thing. We're all doing the same thing out there for the most part. Nobody really has super secret tricks that they're doing to catch redfish. I mean, come on. Let's get right down to it. I mean, besides spending a lot of time on the water and, you know, having had that time on the water giving us an advantage, other than that, we're using the same crap you're going to be using. But, you know, don't ever hesitate to ask questions or just ask if you can follow somebody around, you know. That's, most of us are cool with it. For those of us that don't have Black Dog custom fishing rods to use, we have to rely on something else. You know, we don't have the magical fishing pole to sling baits with, unless you're Peppy or Alan's wife. So, which you know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. What am I saying? I don't even know. Do you agree with me, though? I mean, for the most part, Alan, it's about just, you know, finding a group of guys or group of gals that you like to fish with, some of which may be a little bit more experienced than yourself, whatever. And you know, and throw some Slayer inks. No, I'm kidding. And you know, just get out there and spend some time in the water. You know, I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. Every time I fish, I learn something. Every time I go on the water, I learn.
Just going to say the same thing. Yep, same thing.
Yep. You know, like I watched you throw the SSBs, and I watched the way that you know presented that bait, worked the bait, whatever. And that was cool, you know. I picked
magical,
up on that
isn't it?
Thing. It is magical, actually. the heavens open up, the sound of angels fills the air, and then you fall in the water, and then it's all for naught. And then see what you get. But you know, I went down and I fished with Dee a couple times, and I got a chance to Well, hold on a second. Stop the presses. Stocked up on rod blanks last week, and there is a redfish chuck rod in that bundle. Sweet. Yeah. So anyway, Dee just said it. True. Every time you fish, it's a learning experience. You know what? Like, I fished with Dee a little more than a few months ago, probably last year sometime, and it was me, Dee, and Brittany Dabowski from Florida Sportswoman. And later, Adam, appreciate it, brother. And I'm sure I'll holler at you tomorrow. And Dee was wearing out the trout on top water, just crushing them on top water. And I'm sitting there throwing jigs and throwing shad tails and throwing jerk shads and all this other stuff. And damn. How you doing? So my wife just got in from a dinner she had with work, and she looks really pretty. Anyway, so squirrel. Okay. So anyway, what was I gonna say? Oh, so she was wearing out the trout on top water. I'm throwing everything else, not catching a damn thing. I switch over to top water, start catching a couple trout. It's the show. I'm doing my show. Hi world. Anyway, so Black Dog Custom Rods, Lenny. Later, brother. Take it easy. I'm about to wrap this puppy up. But anyway, just going to tell the story real quick. So me and Dee are paddling with Brittany, and we're going over towards this one flat, and Dee tells us, okay, listen, over here, the bottom kind of comes up, it levels out, and there's a little, like a trough over here, whatever. So I was like, okay, cool, that's good. I'll remember that for the trip back. And so we get over there to the one spot, we catch a couple more trout, and then we start making our way back towards the ramp. Well, I hit the area that Dee had just told me about, and I'm throwing the shad tails now, and I busted two really nice slot-sized redfish right where she told me to go. Well, not knowing the area at all, it's the first time I'd ever fished it, if I didn't take her advice and listen to what she had to tell me about that particular spot, I never would have caught those fish. I would have still had a great day, for sure. But, you know, it was... because I caught some really nice trout, but catching those redfish obviously topped it off for me. So, you know, you can learn every time you hit the water and you're fishing either by yourself or with somebody else, you always learn something. I always watch what you guys do that I fish with, Peppy and Alan and the rest of y'all. I always try and see what kind of rigs you're throwing, whether you're using a different setup than what I'm used to using. What do you think I take so many pictures of you guys? It ain't because I want to give you guys good shots of yourself. I want to get pictures of your rigs, man. I want to be able to later go back and zoom in and see how you rigged your plastics and whatnot. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, Dee says take notes. Keep a fishing log. that's a good idea. I mean, if you go home at the end of the night and you've got a notebook that you can go into and you can just jot down basic information. It was 80 degrees out, water temperature was approximately whatever, water was clean, bait was prevalent, used top waters with little to no success, threw plastics, wrecked them. Now you know, okay, well, this time of year, the top water wasn't working for you. There was a lot of bait around, but they still weren't hitting top water. You crushed them on the plastics, whatever, all that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
you know,
I go back and look at dates on pictures. I take pictures and it's got a date stamp on it. You know, I can go back and look at that picture and look at the date stamps. Like, yeah, I remember, you know, that time I took that picture by, you know, by that date, what I used and everything.
Yeah. See? So, I mean, anybody that says that they are a well-rounded angler and they don't need to learn anything else because they know everything or whatever, or they act like they do, they're full of crap. Because you never stop learning until you're dead. I mean, you just flat out, you can always learn something from somebody or something just from your own experiences out on the water. I will tell you this. As the winter comes closer, I know that a lot of you guys in the chat room and those who have already left are loving the fly fishing, getting into it, really wanting to do it. I know Pepe just posted a picture earlier of some pretty awesome material that he got for really cheap in a vise to start tying flies. Get on it. This is the time of year where you can go from feeling like a zero to feeling like a hero quick, because the fish are going to start getting a little bit more sluggish. They're not going to be so quick to spook off and run away from you. And you can really, truly, find a great number of fish on fly this time of year as opposed to in the summertime. Lenny says, time on the water, weather, weather, water, everything. Yeah. You want to know what? Truly, some of your best fishing days are going to be days where it's going to be questionable about whether or not you should go fishing because of the weather. I don't think that he was meaning that per se, but some of my best big trout days have been on going crummy, windy days, throwing big topwater plugs where they can't hardly even see it. They just hear it and crush it. But, you know, whatever. That's for a whole other conversation, a whole other show. Ladyfish 2, you need those for the 50-inch redfish. Yeah, listen. Stock up. Everybody needs to start stocking up frozen bait. If you've got a freezer that you can dedicate to your frozen bait, get every ladyfish you catch, you should freeze for the most part. Catch some of those big, nasty mullet and freeze them too. If you have not broken the 50-inch class barrier in redfish yet, this would be a very good year for you to do so. I talked to a buddy of mine, Jason, this afternoon. He came by the shop, and he told me that he was out in the motor zone in a very popular location, and he saw several of them the other day, and they were huge. He said there's no guessing that they were in the high 40s, the low 50-inch range, And so anyway, he didn't get him to eat anything, but he saw him. What's he saying? I just proved that theory 2 weeks ago, 47-inch on a Z-Man fluke. Yeah, well, every now and again, you'll find a retarded squirrel that'll eat the poison nut. That's just the way it is. But as far as numbers go with cruising fish, I don't care who tells you anything. You use a chunk of mullet, a mullet head, a ladyfish head, a quartered ladyfish, a quartered crab, and you will catch probably 90% more big redfish than a soft plastic lure or even a topwater plug. You can get them to eat those baits, but traditionally, you're going to catch more of those big fish on bait than you will on plastics or jigs or plugs or anything. Is it fun fishing? Not really. It kind of sucks. But you know what? If you do it right, where you get into around a school of fish, you lead them a little bit with your bait. It's not, you don't have to sit there for 45 minutes waiting for that hit. You know, the South End Mosquito Lagoon is notorious for that. Those fish are constantly cruising. As long as you lead them with the chunk of mullet and it gets down in the grass before they get to it, they're going to eat it. They never turn it down. They're freaking catfish. So, you know, whatever. It's fun. Find those big schools of redfish right now that are out there doing their thing, and it's super easy to get them to eat, too. But, or go to Louisiana, and you can catch giant redfish on a freaking hot dog or a chili pepper. So, you know, it is what it is. But cool, listen, folks, it's after 9 o'clock. I'm surprised I made it this long with my voice, and I'm sorry if you guys have sat in and listened through the whole entire thing. I know it's been pretty tough to deal with, but as far as my voice goes, hopefully not the show. And I want to say a special thanks to you, Alan, for being a good sport and taking the brunt of my bad comedy.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much for making me feel like a complete douche when you told your story and had that tone in your voice. Like,
nah.
Wow, my buddy Chuck here just totally threw me under the bus.
Hey, you know what? I was glad there was somebody there to share it with me. I'll say that. I'll look back and laugh someday.
I will
10
tell
years
you this.
Now.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I am glad that I could be that guy who was able to be there with you to share it.
How would I have pictures of what happened that I could post? I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah, that's so funny. I didn't even post a good picture of all of your stuff floating away. I just posted a picture of you standing there.
I took a picture of you
not even in the frame. Like, I just took a picture of all your stuff.
the debris.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to do something real fast right here. Wet Hooks. I know you're getting ready to get out of here. Folks, Wet Hooks is coming into town from, I think, Louisiana for the Gumbo Palooza this upcoming weekend over in Orlando. He wants to do some fishing in a no-motor zone Sunday and maybe even Monday. If any of you guys want to get together and fish with Wet Hooks out there in the no-motor zone, either of those 2 days, feel free to contact him. He's on yakangler.com. He actually posted something in the question section about it. So if you want to try and join us and just show in out-of-town guy, you know, what we have here, hopefully, as far as the fishery, which probably won't compare to anything that you've got back home in Louisiana, but, you know, it's still fun. Feel free to comment in there and try to make an outing out of it. So, yeah, Lenny, that's kind of the plan for right now. We'll see as the weather, I mean, we'll watch the weather as we get closer, but tentatively we may just do that. Yeah, Wet Hooks, make sure you join Space Coast Kayak Anglers to keep us up to date on what you're doing leading up to it. And so there you go. If you guys are in the need of a custom rod, there's a couple of, actually there's a handful of really good custom rod builders in the state of Florida. But one of the guys that I like to always try and promote, because he's always here promoting me on the show and everything else, Lenny over at Black Dog Rods, he can get you taken care of. So make sure you look up Lenny. He does a heck of a job, man. I think Pappy's fishing with nothing but Lenny's stuff now. Yeah. And so definitely look him up. If you're looking to collaborate with Kayak Charter and you don't know who to call Real Kayak Fishing. Miss D. Kaminsky, she did win the Guide of the Year Award in the Kayak Angler Choice Awards this year. So, and it was definitely well-deserved. So, yeah, definitely look her up. And then, let's see, you want to go kill some ducks, get with Peppy. I know he jumped off of here. But Peppy over there at Coastal, what is it? What's the thing, Coastal Sportsman?
Coastal Sportsman, yeah.
Yeah, have him get with, have whoever wants to go kill some ducks get over there with Coastal Sportsman. They'll put you on the ducks there if you're into that kind of thing. And if you're ever up in the Virginia Beach area, look up Mr. Mark Lozier of First Landing Kayak Angling, or what is it? First Landing, I don't know what it is, First Landing charters or something. Just look up First Lady and you'll find Mark Lozier. The guy's a living legend up there, like Kayak Kevin. And don't forget about our boondoggle, February 15th through the 18th. Actually, it looks like it's 14th through the 18th because we're letting people come in soon. So what is it, Mark? What's your website? Type it real quick. I don't know. I know it's First Landing something. First Landing Kayak Fishing, First Landing. What is it?
No.
I don't know. At least I tried to plug you. You never even plugged me. Let's see. He's typing. Stand by. This just into the news desk. It's First Landing Kayak Fishing. Whatever. Having too much fun here. But yeah, check out Mark Lozier. He's freaking awesome. Plug you. Yeah, plug me, dude. What the hell? Anyway. Check out Mark Lozier. He's awesome. And then D. Kaminsky, Peppy, and all those people that are in the chat room. Black Dog, Lenny, Josh, even though you don't like my Florida Gators, it's cool, man. It's cool. RealKayakFishing.com is Dee's website there, so definitely check her out. And then, cool. Awesome. Guys, listen, do me a favor. Take a child fishing. They're the future of our sport. Be a good steward to the environment. Clean up after yourselves. If you find trash out on the water, please do me a favor and pick it up. Don't let it lay there just because somebody else decided they were going to be a jerk. Don't be a jerk, too. Pick it up, clean it up, and, just be safe. Have a blessed week. And Trey and Logan, go to sleep. Daddy's tired. Good night, everybody. Take it easy. I'm going to go out on the Kayak Kevin intro because it's awesome.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.